Bradley says, we're now in the end of chapter 2, Bradley says that he didn't realize that how long it was from the death of Vashti until... Thank you. Until the selection of Esther. How long was it?
Was it 4 years?
No, it didn't take long to select. It was 4 years before the Purim story happened. Where is that? Where are you? One second.
She was queen for 4 years before.
No.
One second.
It was the third year of his reign that he had the party.
Yes. Right? Third year of his reign.
And then it was the seventh year of his reign when Esther was.
One second.
I just read that.
What? Let's figure this out. The third year of his reign, they killed Vashti. Okay.
Well, it took 4 years for them.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say the seventh year. When does the seventh year come up? Chapter 3, no?
No. It says. Plus it says Zion, I think it is.
It says Zion.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. So it's a delay of 3 years. Good, Bradley.
Yeah. Because doesn't it say that it took so many months for the date in Noel and so many months in this before she came to?
So that's a year, 6 months and 6 months.
Right, so you had to. You
how long after Ahasuerus, it says that after he calmed down. So the question is, how long did it take him to calm down?
Then,
how many years did it take him to calm down? It's a good question.
Choose,
Right, well... You were here last week? Everybody remember how the choice went. You all remember what kind of selection it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't Miss America, I'll put it that way. And the Oscars, the Academy didn't vote, if you know what I mean. It was a voting of one.
They're here basically say what the selection was like.
That's true. Okay. So now in Perek Day, chapter 2, Pasuk Chaf Days. We didn't get to Chaf Aleph. Bayamim Ahim, in those days, okay, Mordechai Yosei Bishar HaMelech. Mordechai, in those days, it seems that Mordechai got a job. What does it mean to be Yosei Bishar HaMelech? Yosei Bishar HaMelech. Sit in the gates of the king. What does that mean, sit in the gates of the king?
He's a judge.
Right, some kind of judge, some kind of court, whatever. So now you have to ask yourself this question. How did Mordechai get that job?
Isn't he an elder or something?
Protectria? What kind of protectria? So how did he get that job? You know, moreover, this is a very interesting question. We're going to talk about this today. And if you imagine the picture of Mordechai in your mind, how does a guy like Mordechai get that job? Mordechai was the head of Sanhedrin. What would the head of Sanhedrin look like? At the very least, whatever he looked like, he must have looked very Jewish. Correct? So now... they all had beards. But it was clear, you remember, it was very clear that the Jews were different. So Mordechai was so different, if what it was so obvious, then how in the world would he get that job? It's a very, very good question. Imagine today, somebody who is extremely overtly Jewish wanted to become, God only knows, Bush nominated him, and I don't even know if this would happen for, but Bush nominated him for Secretary of the Interior. Can you imagine the guy showing up in a black hat with long payas and the chitches hanging out? No?
Not for interior. For education, maybe.
Whatever. So all I'm saying is that should color your perspective, your view of, that should influence your view of Mordechai. Okay? Let's see how he got the job. Let's one second. Let's just read a little more. Katzaf Bigtan Veteresh Neshar Rishay HaMelech Nishramay Hasaf. The Bigtan and Veteresh, the two Shrishay HaMelech. What are Shrishim? What is a Shrish? Come on, shrish, very important word to know. What is a shrish?
A
eunuch, right? Two of the eunuchs from the guards. And they attempted to, how should we say this, assassinate him. By the way, anybody ever see Air Force One?
Yeah.
Right? So how does Air Force One, how do the Russians get their guns at Air Force One?
They have an insider.
Mm-hmm. Right? The most dangerous thing for security of anyone is to have someone on the inside, because he's trusted. Anybody on the inside is automatically trusted.
Why would a Cerise? betray the king?
Excellent question. Why would a Shirish want to betray the king? Another excellent question, okay? So they wanted to kill him. Not the king. Mordechai told, found out. Next question. What's your next question? How did he find out? Okay. And he told Esther. Vatomer Esther l'melech b'shem Mordechai. And Esther told in the name of Mordechai. Vayivukash ha-davar v'yimetzei. It was verified. Vayitalu shnehem al h. They hung him up on a tree. Vayikatei b'sefer divei hayamim b'shnei ha-melech. And it was written in the king's book. Next question also is, that's it? He got a write-up in the book? I mean, we'll see. We all know what happens in the write-up in the book. But it's pretty weak. Why didn't Mordechai get, you know...
medal commendation.
Yeah. What's your simple answer?
Cover.
He went, well, it was said in the name of Mordechai.
Why didn't they communicate it to the king? Right?
It was told, Vatomer Esther Lemelech, the same Mordechai.
That's
she told the king in the name of Mordechai.
Why didn't one of the Sarim or why did somebody else tell it? How did she find out about it?
Well, they were hanging out one day. I don't know. I mean,
hanging out one day for it to work out before you got killed.
Okay. So we have all these questions. Look at the Midrash. Midrash actually asks and answers many of these questions in one fell swoop. Kuf Nun Dibam. Katzach, she writes on number 2. Amar Rab Levi. Rab Levi says, Loma Katzach Bigtan Vateres. Why did Bigtan and Teres, why did they get so mad? Ella, rather, Shenichnasta Esther Lamalchus. Esther went into the king. Amar Achashverosh. She said to Achashverosh, Lama inata osa shem shahayu hamalachim harishonim osim. You know, you should really do like all those old kings used to do. Shayu moshivim adam tzadik yehudi yoshei b'shar hamelech. You know what? You need a good Jew. All the other kings, you know, and if they wanted to succeed, they had to have their token Jew. So you need one too. Amarlo, so she said, yesh kan adam tzadik yikasher, Usmo Mordechai HaYehudi. And there's a good guy. I happen to know about this guy named Mordechai. Right? And so what did the king do? How did we ask? How did Mordechai get the job? So Miriam said he got the job because he had protexia. What's the protexia? Esther. But how did Esther get him the job? She says, you know, we need a Jew. All good kings need a Jew. What? No. To be honest with you, I mean... if you think about it, historically,
it's always been a Jew.
It's always been a Jew. You know?
Look at the White House.
What?
Look at the White House.
On the side? Yeah. I don't know. Like,
on the side? I know. Inside the White House, it's always been a Jew.
All right.
But
so,
some of them haven't been too good.
Right.
A.K.A. Kissinger.
Right, that's true. The Jew isn't always our best friend.
How about Wander?
Big Ton Vateresh, are you Yosli Bashar? And Big Ton and Teresh are there. Kevan Sehib Iran HaMelech. Hoshivat Mordechai, Sham Kachbu. So what happened? Look who got the promotion. The Jew. And they got mad about that. Shinebar Kachap Big Tan Vateresh. That's where they got mad. Ma'asu. So what did they do? Amru, they said, Ho'il Behebi Ranu HaMelech Mim Komeinu. Since the Melech, since the king overlooked us, Nerech Vin Harog Et HaMelech Vitsina. Let's kill him. The Yuakol Omrim, and they're all going to say, Shall you Big Tan Vateres Mishamim Et HaMelech? When Big Tan and Teres were in charge, Hayim Mishamim Oto Yafeh. They did a good job. Achshav Shoshiv Sham Yehudi Neherag. He puts a Jew in charge, and look what happens. He gets killed. Hayu Omdim Umasichim, and they were schmoozing. Velo Hayudim, they didn't know. So Mordechai Miyoshvei Lishkat HaGazit Haya. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. They were speaking some crazy language, and they didn't know that Mordechai spoke every language. They said, oh, let's put a snake in the king's drink or whatever, and he'll drink it and he'll die. Mordechai heard. So he answers all our questions. How did Mordechai get the job? Nepotism from Esther. Right? Why did Bigtan and Teresh want to kill the king? Because they were jealous. Right? How did Mordechai find out? He spoke their language, etc., etc., etc. This is, by the way, so it's a, how do we say it? Well, that's a pretty far-fetched midrash.
I mean, if the two, were they that stupid? To think, well, he promoted a Jew, so we're going to kill the king.
Let's think about it.
Wouldn't there have been chamberlains or advisors, or wouldn't they have any kind of smart?
Let me ask you this question. Let's put the midrash aside. I share with you the midrash, because I think it's important to know the midrash. But why do kings get killed? No. Why do kings get killed?
To use their power.
Correct. They take their power. Mm-hmm. When do they get killed?
When they're not.
When do people try to assassinate the king?
When they're least protected, when they're most vulnerable.
When they're most vulnerable?
When they're not going right.
Right. Correct. When things are not going right. So clearly, the Megillah does not concern itself with these issues. Why would two Shlishim, why would two insiders try to kill the king? Just try to piece together the puzzle, right? You have an investigation. Piece it together. Why would these two eunuchs try to kill the king?
Do they think they could do a better job?
Well.
We don't have, because...
Come on. Why would some disgruntled Marine kill the President of the United States?
You're in a recession.
Because you
have no,
a fall guy.
Ah.
He was a fool.
He was coming all.
You know what I'm talking about? Right? Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did he work alone?
Right.
Well, you know? So, are these two guys alone? Now, if you're Ahasuerus and you find out, what do you start to feel? Unbelievably paranoid. And it's quite clear that things are not going well. If you look at the history, you know, what happened between the 3 years ago that he had this great party, and later, we don't really know. I mean, I don't want to get into the history. But then Megillah doesn't get into it. But you're right, it is unusual. You know, Mordechai's place, we're not really sure. We'll talk about what Mordechai is doing there. You know, and all of a sudden Esther tells him in the name of this guy Mordechai that Mordechai knew. Okay, so now what would you think? Why don't you reward Mordechai?
Sounds suspicious.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How did this guy know that these two guys are going to try to kill me? How did he know? We know because we trust Mordechai. But what would you say if somebody, if you had an informant that was on, that was in the know about some significant event?
He must have gotten mad at the other guy, so he.
No, they checked on it. If he was putting something in a wine, it was easy to check.
All I'm saying is, now that we think about the situation, all these questions come out. You know, what's really going on? So, if you're the king, then what do you do? How do you address the situation? Or, you know, and? Right. What would Saddam Hussein have done? What would he have done?
Kill him.
Which one?
All.
Kill them all. That's right. He would have killed them all. Kill everyone. And so, but you have to run a country, so then what do?
You get yourself a Jew.
Well said. Then what do? You know why you can't get yourself a Jew only? Why couldn't Ahasuerus get himself only just a Jew? Two reasons. Because people didn't like Jews, as this comes clear later on.
It was a Jew that discovered the plot.
And because he didn't like Jews. What, you think he'd want a Jew running his whole country?
So he brings in the new
implement. Ah, now what happens? Right after that, okay?
Somebody else gets
smart. Achar hadvarim ha'ela, after these events, Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus es Haman ben Hamdasa Ha'agagi Vayinas Ehu. So he established Haman, the son of Hamdasa the Agagi, and he raised him up. He raised him up and he established him. Vayasim es Kiso Mi'al Kol Hasarim. He put his chair above all the other ministers. Asher Ito that were with him. I have a hunch about what happened to all the other ministers. Right. You know, just a hunch. Okay. But remember always, you always have to remember that in the back of the mind of an authoritarian ruler, you can never trust anyone. Because they're one bullet or one sword or one whatever away from being the king.
So how does someone get so close to him?
What do you mean?
I mean, how is it that he's promoted? How is it that he's the one that the king always listens to?
Well, who was Haman? Who's Haman? We don't know anything about this guy.
Exactly.
Right. Why do we not know anything about this guy?
None.
What?
None.
It's not important. It's hard to know, you know, how important he was beforehand.
Wasn't he an army general?
Was he?
Well, didn't they say something came back from the
U.S.? They'll be addressing him about that as well, about where he was, where he's coming from. Okay. But it makes sense now. Now you understand, why did the king appoint somebody who's second in command in charge of everything? Why would you do that, Milt?
To
protect yourself. To buffer yourself from somebody else.
You created a fall guy.
Yes. And you have a, you know, somebody, he obviously felt that he could trust Haman to whatever degree.
Your friend's close, but your enemy's close.
Okay.
My father used to say, in Europe, a rich man, what would he do if he had none to guard his money? He hired the biggest crook to watch his money.
Right.
So now the biggest crook would watch all the other crooks, and all he had to do was watch one crook.
Big crook.
Okay. 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 Why Haman specifically? Why does Ahasuerus? What is it about Haman that we can figure out that Ahasuerus particularly picks him? And we're going to see later on in the Megillah, what is it about Haman specifically? We're going to see. I have an idea. And all the servants would have to bow down. Because the king commanded it. Meaning, this guy Haman, he made him, what did he make him into?
Second in command.
A second king.
Just like Yosef.
Like Yosef, a Mishneh LaMelech. Correct? Meaning, but it's almost as if there's a king, and then there's a king for everybody else. They all have to bow down to you. You're like a king. That's a big deal. In fact, it's very unusual for a king to do that. Why would it be unusual? What would be the problem with that?
People are so loyal to the second king, they may forget the first one.
Ah. Yeah. So you have to keep your eye on this guy. You know what I'm saying? And Mordechai would not bow down. He would not kneel. We're faced with a very fundamental question, which is,
why not?
Why not? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't Mordechai bow down? Can anybody tell me what the Midrash says? A ring or what else?
He had an idol on him, walking with an idol. And when you bow down, you bow down.
Right. There's only one problem with that. What's the problem with that? Evan, tell me the problem with that.
Well, you're not supposed to.
What?
You have that in Chumash.
You're not supposed to what?
Bow down to
Hashem.
Didn't
not even idol. You'll be bowing to him.
Before they went into with Midian.
You're clearly allowed to bow down to individuals, to kings. Absolutely.
But they're saying he had a piece on him yet.
Who's he fooling? So that, who am I bowing down to? So I bow down, you know, I go to the, you know, Prime Minister of Japan, and he says, oh, that was Walter, and we bow to each other. And then he says, ha-ha, you need to realize that my tie lapel was an idol, and now you're an idol worshiper.
Yeah, but it was clearly...
Good one, you got me!
It doesn't work that way.
Exactly, that's not how it works. So who does Haman think he's fooling? According to the Midrash always bothered me because, well, you have two problems. One, what about all the other Jews? Everybody bowed down to Haman, except Mordechai.
Did you get the impression that the Jews hung around by the king's gate?
Were
they, like, somewhere...
What do you mean, it was only the ministers?
Yeah.
It is interesting. It says, "Behold, Abdei Hamelech Asher Bisar Hamelech," meaning that what the king wants to do is subjugate all of his ministers to Haman. So, okay, we can accept maybe it's not all the other Jews, but still, why didn't he bow down? To be honest with you, why does the king want everybody to bow down to Haman? Why? Why specifically? Why does he make them bow down to Haman? What do you think, Dora?
Because he appointed Haman, and then if they bow down to him, it shows that they're giving reverence to the king.
Right, but they can bow down to the king. Why does he want them bowing down to Haman?
Show how important.
Correct. He's trying to place Haman in his stead, in a sense. Right. He's trying to raise up the stature of Haman. Is like, let's say Haman is making a big deal religiously about it. Is it a religious issue? Does the king care whether Haman is religious or not religious? Those of you that can't care about any of that stuff. No indication whatsoever. So all of a sudden, what does Mordecai do? He makes this whole big stink. Because Haman has to make it a religious issue. It's not a religious issue. You know? Can you find some, can Mordecai find some way? Can he get ahead there? Can he ask his Rabbi Shiloh? He says, listen, calls up his Rabbi and says, well, I've got this problem. You know, if I don't bow down, if I bow down, it might be a problem about his Zara. But if I don't bow down, you know, it's going to look funny.
But he was the head of Sanhedrin, so he couldn't.
Okay.
Look at the Midrash. Everyone will be looking at him.
Very good. Very good. Look at Midrash number 4. For Mordechai, lo yichra belo yishtachaveh. Mordechai would not bow down. Okay? Why? Amru chachamim, said the rabbis. Mordechai hayashiv tosho binyamin. Mordechai was in the tribe of Binyamin. Who Omer, and it says in the verse, the Binyamin amar yedid Hashem yishkol nevetach alav. That the people of Binyamin have the Shechina, have the presence of God on them. Harei shahayta Shechina shemuya etzla. The Shechina was dwelling with him. Amar Mordechai, ani eini yachol lahachnif l'rasha. This guy is like the slime of the slime. I can't prostrate myself to him. I'm too good for this. So it's not even Avodah Zarah. Why did Mordechai not bow down?
Imagine he's not worthy of
being down. He's not worthy of being down to. Let me ask you this question.
What about the king?
What? Now let's see what Mordechai does. So Mordechai is not bowing down. Pastor Gimel. Vayomru abdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech l'Mordechai. So the servants of the king, now we're in the gate of the king, sent to Mordechai. Madua, I thought you were over eat mitzvah ha-melech. What are you doing? Why don't you come follow the commandment of the king? Vayehi, by the way, it's defying the command of the king. That's a big deal. Vayehi ki amrame lav yom bayom, velo samale, every day. Vayagidu lahamad. So they told Haman, you know, like, hey, come on. They rose, I am dude, yivay Mordechai, ki higid lahem asher hu yehudi. He told them that he's a Jew. Now that pasuk of ki yigid lahem asher hu yehudi is an earth-shattering phrase. Why is it earth-shattering?
How did they not know?
They did not know. That's right. They did not know that he was Jewish. So all those midrashim about picking, you know, the court Jew, etc., etc., it seems pretty clear from the Megillah they did not know he was Jewish. Which would explain something else, by the way.
Did they just turn it into a Jewish problem?
No, they didn't turn it into a Jewish problem. No, he made it into a Jewish issue.
Why did he tell them?
Oh, okay.
How'd they not know? You said he was a stereotypical Jew.
I didn't say that. I said you think he's a stereotypical Jew. If you reconsider all of those stereotypes about Mordechai that you've been raised with all those years, right? He told. So now let's figure out that what's going on, right? Mordechai won't bow down. They say, why don't you bow down? So what does Mordechai say?
I'm Jewish.
I'm a Jew. I can't bow down to that guy. So who makes it a Jewish issue? So we always thought that Haman was the one who couldn't stand Mordechai because he's the Yid and I can't stand that guy and he's a big anti-Semite, which he is. But who makes the issue? Who brings it up? Mordechai brings it up. Ki yigid lo asher. Why are you bowing down? I'm a Jewish. I won't bow down to that guy.
Isn't there some measure somewhere along the way that Mordechai had Nebuah and knew what was going to be coming and therefore so he's obviously starting something for a reason?
You know, that's like a very interesting question. So there's I'll give you another movie quote. So anybody who knows me knows that I'm a sick Matrix fanatic, right? So anybody ever see The Matrix? Yeah?
I tried.
Right. So, you know,
I need to get a right footnote.
Yeah, right. So he goes into this lady who's like a prophet. She's called the Oracle. And she says to him, don't worry about the vase. And he says, what vase? And turns around and he knocks down the vase. So she says, what's really going to fry your noodle is, if I hadn't said anything, would you have broken the vase? So it's very nice of Mordechai to say he saw with the prophecy what's going to be in the end. He saw what the prophecy is going to be in the end, so what does he do?
He
instigates it. You don't have to do anything, but if I go make trouble, it's going to be a problem. So now, would it have happened in the end if Mordechai hadn't instigated it?
Still have.
What?
It would still happen.
Maybe. That's what I want to ask you. So Mordechai brings out, he makes it a Jewish issue. Does everything have to be about the Jews always? So what? Yes. So apparently in this case the answer is yes. Kihigid lahem asher, they did not know before, and they know now. And the thing that bothers my mind that I still can't wrap my brain around is, everybody knew, where did Esther come from? Where did Esther come from?
Jews.
Well, no. They knew that she came from the house of Mordecai. So, meaning, what, she just showed up on the street one day? Hey, when they got Esther, they said, okay, you know, they were filling out the form for the beautiful virgins, right? Beautiful virgin number 77241. Right? God only, maybe that's why it took 4 years, because you had to get through all 7,000 of them.
That's what I said.
Yeah, right. Right. That was a long beauty contest. So, okay. Yeah, right. I think that's what you mean, but okay. Anyway.
It's not
300. It's 6 days a year, but he says it was one a night.
That's true.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so the name, Esther, right? Place of residence. Yeah, Mordechai. You know, like, people didn't know. She just showed up. They just found her, and they stole her up to... Maybe. So now that... So they didn't know where Mordechai was.
So now
Mordechai comes along and says, I am a Jew, like Daniel Pearl. I am a Jew, and I will not bow down to that guy.
Uh-oh, shouldn't that set off alarms?
Ding, 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 ding. Nobody went to the king and said, hmm. But apparently...
Well, they didn't know that.
The answer clearly is... This guy is—he's walking around every day. He's like, you know, how's Esther doing? That's all. All of a sudden, he says that he's a Jew. Haman never like wakes up and puts two and two together and says, "Uh-oh," you know, never happens.
Does she look that different?
No, nobody knew that. Meaning, nobody knew that she had been raised in his house.
Well, her name
that could mean anything.
Esther.
No, Esther was her non-Jewish name. Hadassah was her Jewish name.
So she didn't go by Hadassah.
When she was taken for the beauty contest, where was she taken from? Right. So nobody knew that. When Esther became the queen, you can't imagine, you know, like, could you imagine, by the way, if the king was single, if the president was single? Okay? And he got married. Now he was going to get married. Look at that poor Prince Charles, who I don't feel bad for at all. Well, I don't feel bad for at all. But, you know, they know, like, every time this poor woman, you know, every time she has bad breath, they print it in the papers. Where does she come from? How old is she? How many wrinkles in her face? Every single thing. So you think the king picks a queen. Like, they didn't have the press like they do now. But they had Lashon Hara. There was the rumor mill. There were, you know, people talked. You think that Ahasuerus didn't have 6 secret police? Trying to find out. You know, he was begging Esther, where are you from? Tell me where you're from. You think he didn't try to find out on his own? But nobody puts two and two together and says, Mordechai, Esther, Mordechai, Esther, Mordechai, Esther. Nobody, but nobody does.
What amazes me is that they even went to a Jewish home to take her off.
Well, no, apparently they wasn't Jewish. At the time, they didn't know Mordechai was Jewish, sorry. You know what I'm saying? But now that they figured it out, now Mordechai says, I'm a Jew. I want everybody to know I'm a Jew.
Don't you
want to
find out these things? And theoretically, you could be putting somebody you don't want into power, into power.
No, too late.
Mordechai
is not a Jewish name.
It is not?
No. You know why Mordechai is a Jewish name now?
Because Mordechai.
Mordechai is based, you know, is well, there's nothing Jewish about it. They think that it's from Persia. In fact, we mentioned last week that Mordechai could have been derived from Merodach. Merodach, you know what that is in Persia? Was the name of an idolatry.
Okay.
Right, it was as if his name was Chris or Jesus. Which is kind of shocking. Very, 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 very shocking.
Mordechai wrote to Megillah, right?
Yes.
So he basically writes it so we can all see he screwed up. I mean, is there a reason?
You think so?
That's what I'm saying. So obviously
you get that sense that he thinks he screwed up?
There's a method behind the
method. You think so I'm asking what the method is.
You don't know?
Do you understand? I'm asking you. He seems to instigate it. He seems to push it.
Maybe because he's saying these people are really stupid. They can't put this together. They can't figure it out. He's mocking them.
Why would he bow down to Haman? Nobody has ever given me a good theory. What? Anyone?
Well, maybe what he sees is that there's this madness that's been put into power in
the
king.
Okay.
This guy is bad.
Okay.
And while he hasn't done anything yet, there's a good chance.
Okay.
Just, you know, playing it out. No props or anything. There's a good chance this guy is going to do very bad.
We're doing it. Jews are unbelievably naive and optimistic when it comes to non-Jews. Are we not?
Well, we trust people we shouldn't trust.
That's absolutely right. And historically, we've always been that way.
And Mordecai is saying,
historically, we always hope for the best. He's saying Mordecai was like the only visionary ever in Jewish history to instigate a problem with the non-Jews because he understood the way it really works. You could say that.
I don't know if he's the only one, but he's the one here.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? But you usually don't find, you know, like Hitler rises in Germany and somebody gets up and like spits him in the face and then everybody should know what kind of anti-Semitic he really is.
Maybe if that would have happened. You never know.
I don't know. Interesting question.
Mordecai sees the rise in the power. He says, I'm not going to bow down. I'm making a stand now before he has the chance. So he's waking up all Jewish people saying, this guy's bad.
That's why Kristallnacht happened?
No, he's saying before he becomes the Hitler who's in charge. Let's say Hitler's the vice whatever. You know?
That's basically Haman.
I mean, to be honest with you, the analogy is exactly right. Haman, we treat like, you know, like a Hitler. Haman is Hitler. That's the exact analogy.
You know,
that's exactly right.
He would have
correct. He's a Hitler.
So, right?
Yes. So maybe you want to say that. Okay, good. Very good. No, I'm not going to negate it. But it has to be discussed to understand what in the world, where is Mordecai coming from? What's he trying to do? Because he clearly initiates. Pasuk 8. Wow, we're really fine. Vayar Haman saw ki ein Mordechai korea mishtacha belo. He's not bowing down. Vayimale Haman chema. This is always interesting to know. This guy fly after Hannah like crazy. You know, Achashverosh, angry. Haman, angry. Vayivez be'inav lisloach yad b'Mordechai lebado ki higidu lo et am Mordechai. So they told him, you know, see that guy? He's a Jew. So he said, well, it's beneath him just to punish Mordechai. You know, I'm not going to have one Jew embarrass me. Vayivakesh Haman lehashmid et kol ha-Yehudim asher b'chol machut Achashverosh am Mordechai. He says, you know what? I'll make an example of him. I can't stand the Jews anyway. We're going to kill them all. B'chodesh ha-Rishon, b'chodesh Nisan, so now what year are we in? Year 12. 7 years, 5 years after Esther has been appointed.
Long story.
Yeah. He peeled poor. Hu ha-goral lifnei Haman. So what is a poor? A lottery. Okay, that is the goral, the lottery before Haman. Miyom liyom u'michodesh lachodesh shnei mashar hu chodesh adar. So he did it first to the day, and there are a lot of midrashim about that. Then the year, then the month, then the year. To know, you know, month, year, what's the most opportune day to know to kill all the Jews? And it came out the 12th of Adar. Vayomer Haman, the Melech Achashverosh, Yeshno, I'm sorry. Yeshno, בחודש נמשל, the 12th month, it's the חודש of Adar. ויאמר המלך להמן, ישנו עם אחד מפוזר ומפרד בין העמים. There's one nation that's מפוזר ומפרד, spread out and dispersed and separate from the Jewish from the people. בכל מדינות מלכותך, throughout your entire kingdom. ודעתיהם שונות מכל עם. And their attitudes, their religion is different from every other nation. ודעתי המלך אינם עושים. And they also... Datei HaMelech Enam Oshim really means, what he means is, all the Mepharshim explain, they don't pay taxes. VeLaMelech Ein Shov VeLaHanicham. And there's no reason to leave them. Okay? You should get rid of them. Let me see. What?
That
Datei HaMelech, Rashi says, LaTeit Mas LaAvodat HaMelech. They don't pay their taxes. I have to read you. There's this thing called the Targum HaSheni. The Targum HaSheni is the... Whoa. Uh-oh. Targum Sheni, this is not a really good version of the Chumash. I don't have it in my other one. Targum Sheni is this wonderful writing. I don't know who wrote it. Targum is but it's a commentary on the whole Megillah. And the Targum Sheni really expands this whole story about what did Haman say? You know, if he went to the king and said, you know, I'd like to wipe out, you know, like a couple million people. I mean, you have to give him somewhat convincing argument about, you know, why. Okay, so let me see, one second. Drain your resources? One second. Here we are. So it's a very long essay, and it's worthwhile to translate because it reads like a Nazi manifesto. It really, really does. So what did he say? He says, Haman said to the king of Ahasuerus, there's a nation that's spread out. They're arrogant. Okay? During the times of Tevet, they hang out in the baths. And they sit during the times of Tammuz. And they're different than us. Okay? And they don't like the way we operate. They don't do any work for the king. And when they see us, they spit on the ground and consider us like we're Tameh. Okay? And when we leave, and we say to them, Avodat HaMelech, right, when we say, oh, we need you to do some work, Miyad Olim B'chomot U'Potim Zerot. No, we can't do any work. Those Jews. Okay? One second. They don't marry us, and we don't marry them. Okay? The Ish HaNilkach Lahem La'avod Avodat HaMelech, and if somebody said, take it to do work, Minatzel B'Amro. See, he apologized, and he says, sorry, Shabbat Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Can't work today, it's Shabbos. Can't work today, Pesach. Oh! You Jews, every other day is a holiday.
Yeah, but then they say they want to become us because I thought they wanted to. But isn't there also a discussion about the wine, or is that at the festival, about the wine and the fly? Wasn't that part of this also?
You'll see that, I'll get to that in a second. But it's such a stereotype. Those Jews, anytime you want them to work, somehow it's a holiday for them. That's what he says, exactly. He says, and when we want them, when we want to buy from them, Osrim Aleinu Esrakim, they know, sorry, Hayom Hazeh Asur Lanu, can't sell to you today. Yishar Rishona, the first day, the first hour of the day, they say, Shema Anu Korim, well, we got Davin. The second hour, they say, Tvilanu Mitzvalim, well, I said Shema, but now I have Gamash Menesre. The third hour, they say, Anu Ochlim. We got to eat. The fourth hour, they say, what do you have to say in the fourth hour? You just ate. You got a bench, right? The fifth hour, the Chamishit Yotzim. The fifth hour, they have to take a break, because, you know, they were so busy the first 4 hours. The sixth hour, they come back. And the seventh hour, their wives come and tell them, oh, you got to come have lunch. Right? And once every week they have a Shabbos, and then they go and they read, and then in the end they say, he does the whole, it's like a long essay about, all the things that the nations of the world say about the Jews. How terrible they are. One second. He's going to get to the end. He said about the wine, I just want to get to that. He tells about the whole history, how terrible they are. Let me see if I can find the point about the wine. Usually he says, if a fly falls in their wine, they take it out and then they drink the wine. But if we touch their wine, they spill it out. Which happens to be true.
Right. But that was like the topic right. That I remember that really enraged.
Right. Meaning like, they treat us like dirt, all the things that the non-Jews, if you ever want to read, what they say on the KKK website, you just have to read it in the Pashag and Haktar. We know what they say about us. And it's right there. And he says, Haman sat Ahasuerus down and he said, I got to tell you about these Jews. And he gave him the whole thing. It's very, just very fascinating to read. Somebody should translate. It's very, 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 very fascinating stuff. Okay. We'll follow. One second. Test. Pasuk 9. Imal HaMelech Tov. If the king wouldn't mind. Yikatev La'abdam. Let's get rid of him. Basharet Alafim Kikar Kesef Eshkol Al Yedei Osei HaMelecha La'avi Yon Yizei HaMelech. And I'll pay you 10,000 Kesef. What does that tell you? Look at source number 5. Esther Rabba. Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh et Haman. He appointed Haman. So you ask yourself, why did he appoint Haman? Pinchas Amar, Snei Ashirim Amdu Ba'olam. There were two men of means, two wealthy men in the world. Echad Yisrael, Ve'echad Ba'avodei Kol Chavim. One Jew and one non-Jew. And their money was only bad. Korach the Yisrael. Korach was the Jew. He found Yosef's hidden treasures. Haman was a non-Jew. He found the treasures of the Jew kings. Hamelech et Oshro, Vased Banav Lefanav Sarim, when he saw how wealthy he was, Amar Bigilo V'Romemo, he hired him. Why did the king pick Haman? Why would a king pick a wealthy person to make him second in command?
Because he doesn't have to steal from him. He doesn't have to give him his treasury.
What does that tell you about the king?
Paranoid.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. What?
He likes money.
He needs money. Mm. Costs a lot of money to run a country.
He didn't have all that money that the party, 3-year party and all that.
What happened between 3 years? 3 years, a lot of things can change. You know, when George Bush entered the country, he was $70 trillion in surplus. 2 years later, we're $450 billion in deficit.
Did he spend a lot of money redoing the throne?
Unclear. We don't know. But what is clear is, Haman had a lot of money. Right? Money is power. Ahasuerus clearly needs money. Because you know how I know? Because when Haman wants something, right, he knows Ahasuerus doesn't care. He doesn't care what it is. You know, I want to kill out like a zillion people. Whatever, do whatever you want. How much? But Mordechai is writing it for history and knows that the king is gonna see this document. So he writes it in a very PC kind of way. Okay, so he says, oh, by the way, but he tells us exactly what we need to know. So the king took off his ring, and the ring, by the way, is very important. Just follow the ring. Why is that ring important? It's the seal. It's the power. Okay, which is interesting, by the way, that the power is more important than the person. The ring carries more weight than the individual. You keep the money. Do what you want. By the way, when the king said, you keep the money, what do you think happened afterwards? We don't hear the rest of the conversation. You know what? I just send me the money over. Yeah, right. What day did this happen on? The first day of the month, on the 13th day of the month, right? And they wrote all the things that Haman said to the how do they translate Achtar Pnei Hamelach? The ministers, the brothers, the friends. How do they translate it? The governors of the king. And he sent also to the pachot, the cans. Those are pachim.
Here's a translation of
what. Yeah.
King Satra?
Okay, so we don't even know what it means in Hebrew or in English. That's fine. Okay. No, each nation, each king, in his language. It was written and sealed. He sent messengers. He sent books, edicts, to destroy all the Jews. Young and old, taf benasim b'yom echad. What day? The 13th day of Adar. And by the way, you can have all their money. Why would people attack? Right, Haman is brilliant, by the way. He's brilliant. How are you going to do it?
You keep whatever.
How are you going to do it? How are you going to destroy all the people? How are you going to kill all the Jews?
You kill them and you take their money. You get to keep it.
So you know what? You know, it's very interesting. I think it's mazel that Hitler, your master Mo, never read the Megillah. Because it's absolutely brilliant. How does Haman do it? He says, I don't have to do anything. You think I hate the Jews? Everybody else hates the Jews just as much as I do.
Well, the Polacks hate the Jews also.
Can you imagine what would have happened if the Nazis had said, every Polak could kill as many Jews as you want? In fact, we'll pay you. How many Jews would have survived Poland? That's right. But if they had let him do it. You know? The Germans spent so much energy trying to kill Jews that it hampered their...
Kill them.
What?
They wanted to do more than kill. There was a greed to the madness.
It's just interesting. It's a good thing he didn't read the Megillah. Because the Polacks and many of the other Europeans were not the Ukrainians.
Had he just wanted to kill, it would have been done.
Well, they also wanted to do that. Okay, anyway. Hashem Akhtav, Yinatim Dabachol Medina, Medina Galil Lechol Amin. They wrote a copy. Liyosh Atatim Liyom Hazeh. Harashim Yatu Duchuzim Bebahar Melech. They got pushed out. Vahadat Midna B'Shushan Avira. And they published it in Shushan. Vahar Melech Vahaman Yashru Bishtot. So the king, Haman, let's have a drink. Vahir Shushan Nevocha. And the city of Shushan was in an uproar. Okay, so we'll have a couple other questions. I left with a few questions. Okay? First question was, why doesn't Mordechai bow down to Haman? So we talked about it. We didn't have a good answer. Why is Mordechai initiated? Okay, and it's interesting that Adina said something about Mordechai having a prophecy. Okay? Nothing. It says, let's look back for a second. I didn't point this out. In Pasuk Dalet. Go back to Dalet. Vayehi be'amram yom vayom. Amram, he says when they said it every day, bow down, below Hashem Aleihem. Vayagidu lahaman, and they told Haman, Lirot hayamdu divrei Mordechai, to see if the words of Mordechai would stand. Ki higid lahem asher yehu Yehudi. What does it mean, hayamdu divrei Mordechai?
If he's telling the truth.
Wait, if he's telling the truth that he was a Jew? Hayamdu divrei Mordechai. They wanted to know, and these guys wanted to know, would what Mordechai said be true? So I have one simple question. What did he say? What did he say? It's very, very vague. I mean, you read over it, and you know, what in the world did he say? Yeah, see?
If it's intentional to tell him, why did he tell him on the first day? Why did he go yom by yom and kept asking him, and finally he relented and gave in? Why not just do it right away?
Uh-huh. Okay. What the Megillah says a couple of times, what was the day that the edict went forth? What was the day that the edict went forth? The what? No, 1 second.
The 13th day of the first month.
Bechodesh HaRishon, Chodesh Nisan, okay? Bishtat Seh Nisrei, so in Nisan, Haman made his decision, okay? So we don't know what day it was. And then what day on Nisan did he decide what day did they send out the message? So it says twice about Nisan. And do I need to know when Haman had his little shindig, his pour? Okay. What day? It says. Right. The Yom Echad, the Slosa Asar, the Chodesh Neimasar, who Chodesh Ava, that's going to be on 30th of Adar, but what day did they send it out? Here we are. Vayikaru, Pasuk Yudet, 12. Vayikaru Sofer HaMelech, Bachodesh HaRishon. What day, what month is that?
Nisan.
Bishlosha Ashar Yom Bo. On the 13th day of Nisan. Erev Pesach. So why is that day significant? What's significant about that day? So I think, when I read the Megillah, there's a subtext. There's a context that's hidden behind that when you see it, it's obvious. If you ask yourself, let's assume what we know about Mordechai. Mordechai never told anybody he's a Jew. He didn't reveal himself. Why does Mordechai press the issue? What is Mordechai really concerned about? What's his greatest concern? Think about Mordechai. Think that Mordechai was the only one. Think he was the only one that was a Jew that didn't tell anybody? If Mordechai was a member of Sanhedrin, according to the Midrash, if he was able to conceal his Judaism, Esther, the queen, was a Jew, and nobody knew. What about the rest of the Jews? What was Jewish life like in the times of Mordechai? What was going to happen to Jewish life? What were Jews supposed to be doing? What was Jewish life supposed to be like in the time of Mordechai? Erev Pesach.
You're supposed to be burning chametz.
You're supposed to be burning chametz. You're supposed to have a korban Pesach. By the way, who's the korban Pesach for? Who has to partake in the korban Pesach?
Everyone.
Right. There's a lot of contrast going on here. Mordechai understands, and I think more than anyone probably, if I don't press the issue of what it means to be a Jew, before long, there won't be any Jews anymore. K Ki Yilam Asher Hu Yehudi. Why does he push the issue with Haman? Because the only person who's ever going to get people to make themselves understand that they're a Jew is
someone who hates Jews.
Sometimes, and this is really true, the only way to get Jews to identify being Jewish is when you persecute them for being a Jew. What is that book? The book that came out 2 years ago? What did he say? That guy, Daniel Pearl? Why did he say I'm a Jew? Because they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true even today. So what did Mordechai see in the Nevuah? What did he see?
The Jews just assimilating.
I'm not sure. I don't remember what the Nevuah is. Let's look at an interesting midrash. Okay. Page 2. Source number 11. B'chodesh HaRishon D'Shasa Shavo, Orlo L'Ham Aman Sh'avon Osam M'Sach Sechino Sel. Haman, woe was to him, his sins, M'Sach Sechin, Sichsuch, they dirty him. Shabo B'Yom Sh'Yisrael Shochtin Es HaPesach B'Yerushalayim. The same day that the Jewish people, they slaughtered a Pesach in Yerushalayim, Bo B'Yom Gazar L'Em Sh'Yahargu. So what I want to read, I'm meaning that measure in another way. Right? The Jews have to have a decision. You can decide to be a Jew in one of two ways. You can either shech the korban Pesach and Yerushalayim and identify as a Jew in that way, men, women, and children, or you'll be the korban Pesach. Well said. I wouldn't even say it that way. Very well said. It goes one of two ways. You can either be a Jew by choice, or you could be a Jew by persecution. And that is the story of Pesach. They were Jews by persecution, and God said, no, you could be, that's why the Korban Pesach is so powerful. We choose to be Jews. All right. Look at number 8. So it says, Amalei says, Imasoncha kesef min hagrutaot. If you want, I'll give you the money, etc., etc. Okay, so skip down 2 lines. Amalei achashverosh. You want to buy the Jews off me. If those are the Jews that say God is one, I'm not going to sell them. They're my property. I'm afraid these Jews, you know, I mean, nobody wants them for that problem. As soon as you get rid of the Jews, they're my protection. They're my security. Let's skip down a lot. Amarle, when it's Amarle Haman. See at the beginning of the line, about 7 lines from the bottom. Amarle, Aleph Lamed Haman. See what it says the 7 lines from the bottom? Amarle Haman. Said Haman. And that kol hadvarim she'amarta. That's true, all those things that you say. You're right, they are pretty precious, and bad things happen to people that harm them. That's only when God likes them. But his Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Umikdasho and his holiness, Hukaus Alehem. All bets are off.
Who's not too smart?
Who, Haman? He's right. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And you know who knows it more than anybody?
No, he's not right.
He's right.
But if the people who persecute the Jews, they're doing God's work in a sense, but they're going to get it that much worse.
Only when the Jews are in God's good graces.
I think they still get it, don't
they? Well, we know that there's a promise, that there's a commitment, but the Jews have to turn themselves around first. You understand what I'm saying? Mordechai understands that if we allow this to continue, Haman will win no matter what. One way or another, Haman will win. So you know what? At least we have to go down fighting. Fighting for who we are. Fighting for our identity. Fighting for what it means to be a Jew. And Mordechai also knows, I think, at least according to the way I'm interpreting, there's no way to get the Jews to identify. You know, you could all have all the Chabad houses in the world, and you could have, you know, a zillion outreach dinners and scholars in residence. How am I going to get the Jews to understand what it means to be a Jew? Mordechai understands that, how am I going to build the Beis HaMikdash? I'm never going to build the Beis HaMikdash until the Jews care about being Jewish, which they don't. So what's going to make him understand that he, to be a Jew? Only one way. Hama. And if you think about it, the greatest building, the greatest constructive errors in Jewish history come after persecution. Right? The Jewish people were formed out of persecution. Alright? Second Temple was built. When was the Second Temple built?
After persecution.
After this persecution. This becomes a direct precursor to the Second Temple. State of Israel created? After the Holocaust. Right? Only once people understood that unless we have a place for Jews, we're going to be persecuted. So then the Jewish people got together and decided, well, we have to force the issue. That's right. Now, what was it that Mordechai said? We don't know what he said. Hayamdu divrei Mordechai. Would the words of Mordechai stand? I don't know what he said. But he said something. And he writes in it, he keeps saying, the 13th day of the Nisan, Hu Chodesh Nisan. What is Nisan all about? Nisan is about, it should be about Geula, it should be about Pesach. And it's not about, it's about destruction. So Mordechai tells his own people, you know what? I'm not going to bow down. I am a Jew. Because I'm a Jew. And come what may, I'm going to go down as a Jew. I'm going to go down not forgetting that. One way or another. We'll have to think about it.